All right, final hour of the first word, Mad Dog Radio, and this is about as good a guy to talk to when it comes to what it feels like as a personnel guy and somebody who constructs a team and is part of putting a plan together to get to the championship level. The general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, part of three Super Bowl winning teams with the New England Patriots. He's been the executive of the year, Scott Pioli. Scott, how you been?
I'm doing all right, Gary. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You're kind
of. I gotta ask you real quick.
Yes.
That lead in there, is that your normal lead in there, the Blue Oyster Cult?
We try to appeal. We try to strike a chord and get the tone right for our guests. And I knew Blue Oyster Cult would hit right in your wheelhouse.
Well, no, yeah, it does, but it's also, you know, it gets me thinking about the whole More Cowboy skit from Saturday Night Live.
Christopher Walken.
I was trying to focus as I'm listening to the lead, and it just threw me off.
More cowbell. Need more cowbell. All right. You know, these weekends are special. You guys, you grind along. You evaluate all this personnel. You bring guys in. You hope they have the makeup. Take me back. The four times you went into these weekends, you know, as you prepared for a conference championship, what was it? What did it feel like? What were the things that were permeating through your mind as you headed into these weekends?
Well, I don't know if it, you know, it was just you had to treat it like another game. And in the back of your mind, you always know that if you lose, you go home. But it was always, you know, Bill did an amazing job of setting the climate within the office and within the locker room that it was just another game. Everyone understood in the back of their minds what the magnitude of the game was, but it was treated just like another game. And it was business as usual, and that was always the best way to handle those things. Like I said, Bill did an amazing job of the environment, the climate in the locker room, in the weight room, and with the players. They knew that it was just another game that had a little bit more significance.
Scott, when you look at these four teams, the completeness thing, like who's the most complete? I don't know if that, you know, that is such a hard thing to answer. But who do you think, in terms of the vulnerabilities, which team has the fewest weaknesses?
Wow. I don't know. I'm not really sure which team has the fewer weaknesses, and I'm not sure if that is really the most important part of what, you know, being part of the Final Four. Because what happens is there's teams with greater weaknesses, but what happens is on weekends like this, it's about who's going to be better, more prepared, and execute better on Sunday. And sometimes the deeper team wins, and sometimes the deeper team doesn't win. Sometimes the more talented teams win, sometimes it doesn't. Because you never know what's going to happen, because there's so many that's one of the great things about this game, is there's so many dynamics that affect this football game. Who's healthy, who's not healthy, who's going to be healthy after the first three series, who's not going to be healthy after the first three series. I'll tell you this, though, there's four really, really good football teams involved in this weekend.
General manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Scott Pioli, and obviously formerly with the Patriots, winning three Super Bowls. Take me back and through the course of the decade, the way that you guys had to kind of go through each other, not only in the regular season but also in the playoffs with Indianapolis. You as an executive and as a personnel guy, along with Bill and the other people in all your scouting department, you were built to be good. You looked at the teams in your division. Did you ever have conversations about Indy at large, looking at the conference?
Looking at the conference, yeah, because you knew it was a team that if you were going to be fortunate enough to be in a position to be in the tournament at the end of the year, there were certain teams that you knew that you were going to have to try to be able to match up with well or better to beat them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Indianapolis, it's an interesting thing that the relationship between the Colts and the Patriots during the course of the decade was something that evolved into, I think when it started out, there was a great deal. There was the natural competitive spirit that took over, and it then evolved into a respect and a mutual respect for both teams that both sides had for one another. Because there were two teams that were built. Both teams had great quarterbacks. Both teams had great coaches, and both teams had other great players. And there was this mutual respect that evolved over time. When you, you know, I think when you're in the heat of the battle during the time, there's some things that are done that may appear disrespectful because of the heat of competition. That's very natural. But I know over the course of time, we felt like we were competing on every level. It was their coaches and our coaches. It was their players and our players. It was our front office and their front office. And they're really, you know, speaking about the Colts, a remarkable organization. It's you know, Peyton Manning is one of the greatest players we will see in our lifetime. There were other great players that have been through there and are there right now. And, you know, Bill Polian and his ability and what he's been able to do throughout, not just in Indianapolis, but in his career, has really been remarkable. I mean, people don't always talk about, the, you know, he went to four AFC championships in Buffalo, and then he went and turned that Carolina franchise into a competitive, you know, a strong competitor within the entire league in a very quick amount of time. And then he revived an entire franchise that had really been struggling for a time. And it's, you know, I always felt it was an honor to be able to compete against Bill Polian and Dom Ennealy and the folks that they had, you know, in their scouting department. It was a lot of fun.
Scott, players will say that, you know what, I haven't watched that again. It's generally they don't watch losses. You don't have that luxury. You have to do it. You know, you don't. I mean, you can't go, well, I'm never going to watch that again. That would mean that you're not doing your job. I want to take you back to the 2006 AFC Championship game. What did you as a staff learn about your team after that close loss and a late interception that led to what you guys did and launched an OSET? What did you say to each other in watching the evaluation of that game?
I think one of the things we knew immediately is we needed to get faster on defense. And part of, you know, what we struggled with in that game was matching up with certain players on their offense. And, you know, a player like Dallas Clark, we were a little beat up that week, and then in over the course of the game we lost two of the players that started. And over the course of the game we kept losing starters, and the matchups deteriorated as the players that we were putting on the field matching up with some of their receivers and along with, you know, and trying to keep up with Dallas Clark. And we just knew that we needed to become a faster team on both sides of the ball and on our offense as well, because they were able to cover us pretty well, which is part of what led to, you know, the trades that we made in the next offseason.
Scott Pioli with this general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. I do want to talk about the decisions and some of the news your staff and your organization has made. A quick thought, though, about the NFC. The far thing is, listen, I don't know that anybody, knowing that he's got a howitzer connected to his, you know, to his the right side of his body, that even after this surgery he could be what he's been all year. It's one of the most remarkable things we'll ever see at the age of 40 to do what he's done. Them as a team, Scott, what jumps off the screen when you watch them that you go, boy, they're really good at that?
Well, I think what they've done is that there's been a couple of young players that have been there for a few years that have come into their own. You know, Sidney Rice and everyone knows about Adrian Peterson. What Adrian Peterson, the combination of Adrian the running game can do to open up the passing game, and the passing game can do to help the running game. And Shianko, they have good players on both sides of the ball, and they've done a good job of building a team that fits their venue as well. And they're a fast football team, and they get to the ball fast, and then when they're on offense, they are fast. They've done a good job of getting some good young players in there that have developed, and for this moment in time, they've done a great job of bringing in a player like Brett Favre, who's come in and complimented the other skilled players that they have, and it's come together pretty well for them right now.
And when you look at New Orleans, they have this. It reminds me again, and it's all these comparisons are not perfectly accurate, but the balance you had with the way that Tom spread the ball around to a lot of different guys mm-hmm. at the beginning of the decade, and there was no one that you go, wow, he had an all-pro season. No. 50 catches, 40 catches, 35, top line maybe 60. When you look at them, is that their greatest strength? Is that there is no distinguishable, you know, Randy Moss there, but all these guys have the ability to kill you drive after drive.
And that's a credit to the way that the team is built and the offense that they're running. They've got the right players for the right system. And, oh, by the way, they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the entire National Football League right now. And I know that Drew is starting to finally get some acknowledgement and recognition, but he's a player for even prior to this year and a couple of years before this, he is one of the most – he's, as a quarterback, fundamentally, technically, he's nearly perfect. He's incredibly accurate, and he doesn't get enough credit for his arm strength. He does a great job of throwing the ball where it needs to be thrown, when it needs to be thrown, and he's got some good players. And when you have a good system, and you know, Sean is a phenomenal football coach, and what he's done with that quarterback and with the players, and some of the, you know, credit to the players that are there as well, where they've been smart enough. A guy like Dev Henderson who stuck around there and understood that he had a good situation with a good quarterback, and they're really a really solid football team.
Scott Pioli, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. Scott, the climate in the NFL right now, you tell me, as somebody who has to navigate this, the uncapped year, for the fans who are going, well, what is that really going to mean? Are we going to see wild spending sprees? Are we going to see some teams go low and hit the floor when it comes, as opposed to hitting the ceiling? What do you think? Tell me what you think we're going to see here.
I tell you, you know, Gary, I'm not smart enough to figure out what the other 31 teams are going to do or how they're going to do it. I think it's one of those situations. Every team has to figure out what's right for themselves and do what they need to do. I'm not sure what to expect. Again, I know that we have a plan in place and how we're going to try to do things. What the other 31 teams are going to do, I'm not really sure. I think everyone is still finding out and getting educated as to what this is all going to mean this year.
Do you get? And again, I know you don't like guesswork. You can only worry about yourself. Do you assume or guess that someone's going to try to make the grab and pay money that is going to be a reflection of a one-year grab at something special? Do you assume that's going to happen?
You know, I don't assume anything, but I think history has shown that there's been people that have done that. Seems to be every year, and that something like that happens. But again, I really don't know what other teams are going to do because there's been a number of teams with changes in their front offices and in their coaching staffs who've done business a certain way for a certain amount of time. You predict and you think you know what's going on in an organization. It's so difficult to be able to predict and project what's going to happen within another building, just because, you know, I've seen people and heard people try to predict and project what we're going to do. And unless you're in that building, you really don't know what's going to happen or how they're going to do business.
All right. And, Scott, as far as your organization, it's not comprised of a bunch of wallflowers. I mean, you know, I can only just certainly perceive what I see, and that is, you know, Todd Haley is not he's not a wallflower. He's, you know, he wants to have command. He shows it. He's demonstrative. Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel. For you, you have the comfort in knowing they are productive people in the roles that you knew them in.
Right.
What misgivings, if any, do you have about putting this kind of firepower in the same room? You assume, you go, oh, that's only going to be great. What, if any, misgivings should you have?
Well, here's what I think. We went into this knowing exactly what was good and what was going to be what we need to be concerned with. We talked about all of these things, not only Todd and myself, but Todd and Romeo and Todd and Charlie and myself, Todd and Romeo, and myself, Todd and Charlie. Here's the thing, there's a lot of history amongst this group of people, and I don't want us to think that there's just these four people here involved, because there's a couple of other, I mean, there's a guy like Maurice Carthon who has a significant voice within this organization, and Maurice is not only an outstanding coach, but he does a great job of presenting things in such a way and giving pushback and giving feedback. Bill Muir is another great coach who has had, you know, a tremendous amount of experience. A guy like Gary Gibbs, who has been coaching forever. He's been a coordinator. He's been a head coach at Oklahoma, which, you know, I think they had a bigger salary cap than some NFL teams at one point. I love to kid Gary about that. It's back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But they, you know, there's additional people. The focus right now is on Charlie and Romeo, but there's other really strong coaches here, and some really, I don't want to say strong personalities, because they're not really, they're confident personalities. And the more people you can get like that within an organization, towards the, you know, involved in the leadership group, it leads to more questions and better answers, is what we hope. You know, because Todd and I, our personalities are not the type that, you know, that we feel we have all the answers in any way. And we have really, in these situations, we want to foster discussion, have feedback, have pushback. You know, we appreciate having guys like Mo and yep. Bill Muir and Gary over the last year, who have really pushed back on, you know, and tell us no, I don't think that's a good idea, or yes, I think that's a good idea. And they don't do it with an agenda. And now we've just added two more people who are very much like that, and they just happen to be a little bit higher profile than some of the other coaches. And it's someone that two guys who Todd and I have a great deal of history with. And, you know, Charlie was the head coach at Notre Dame, so he's going to have insight into things so Todd can bounce things off of somebody, just like he has done with Gary. Like I said, he being the head coach at Oklahoma is a pretty significant place. And then also Romeo has been an NFL head coach. So the addition of these coaches has really energized this staff and is going to help, not only in from the coaching standpoint, from a player personnel standpoint as well.
Well, and of course, you know this, and most of America knows it. It doesn't take much to energize a fan base as passionate as Kansas City Chiefs fans are. Before I let you go, because you guys, with all these games and the evaluation you got to do, you'll be going underground. Can you tell me, it's early in the evaluation, but from your scouting department, give me the early feeling about the strongest position of strength in this draft. Do you know yet?
I don't think we know yet, because it's, you know, we just had, I think it was 53 underclassmen just declare the other day, and we're adding those names into the mix. Some of the names we, you know, you speculate they may be available, they may not be available, but now we have these names come in. And the other thing that I want us to be careful about every year is that we just don't get caught up in, okay, this is a strong position, or that in January or February that we're, you know, pigeonholing us in a position that we've got to upgrade this position and this position only, because again, you know, the reality is this: we were 4-12 this year. Okay, we've got a lot of holes to fill. We've got a lot of areas to upgrade this football team. We see things heading in the right direction, and we lost 12 football games this year. So there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of improvement that can be done, you know, throughout the organization.
All right, Scott, since you're just starting your day, I think just to start your day, we're going to give this to you. This will put a little pep in your step, a little giddy up for you as we send you out the door. Big E, hit it for him. And not only the song, I think we're going to give you a little bit more cowbell.
I've got a cowbell playlist on my iPod, actually.
All right, listen, enjoy these games, and you're awfully kind to make some time for us. Thanks so much.
Gary, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Scott Pioli, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. We will talk to Ron Wolf. He did the deal after evaluating Favre closely coming out of Southern Miss. His thoughts, now a 40-year-old guy trying to get back to his Super Bowl. He'll join us. We roll along. First Word, Mad Dog Radio.